tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
We have been together at times when war seemed endless.
United, there is little we cannot do.
And that was a serious, serious threat.
Divided, there is little we can do.
It contained no threat.
Because we thought he had weapons of mass destruction.
Or hint of war.
Without such understanding and knowledge, our people would be incapable of promoting justice. Without them, they would be incapable of defending freedom.
Lots of money is the best option.
Wait, which one?
Money.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you live for the Internet for Wednesday. Well, it's not really live. Let's be fair. I'm not recording live. No, it's true. In fact, I'm recording this not live at all. But I am reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, August 10th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as while counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And just what is core political tyranny? Well, it's corporate and political and tyranny all put into one shitty little shell. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech against said core political tyranny today. And just by listening, you are to the memes and thoughts and ideas that I warble back and forth like some sort of crazy Baptist minister are in fact right now filtering into your mind, and very slowly you will be awakened and able to escape the Matrix. But until then, you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And as well, check it out. You know it's tight. You know it's hot. We've got another guy broadcasting Newsreel because some listeners went out there and decided to contact an online radio station and say, hey, you know what? You should carry Newsreel. And SRN1 answered the call. They are now on board to help us destroy the core political world. And always remember that anyone, including you, is free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. So, got a ton of feedback straight off the top. Let's get right into it. Dear Sean, I've been enjoying all sorts of Rant Media stuff over the past 3 years or so. Oh my God. Have we been doing it this long? And I've managed to get a couple of other guys interested too. Very cool. I'm glad you're doing this daily news show, and I really appreciate all the work that you and everyone behind the scenes do to bring the show to us. Yes, there is a lot of people who do a lot of very sick work to keep the station going, and some of them, up until today, have not received really the recognition that they deserve, and probably may or may not continue to do so. There's so many people that are working on this. I don't even know how many people are involved with Rant Media anymore. That's how big Rant Media has gotten. There's one thing that I think might help out. Whenever I try to explain to others why they should be listening to the show and why they should be enjoying Rant Media projects in general, they want a short, sweet description. And could you help me out and explain exactly what you're about when it comes to Newsreel? I tell people that you're anti-core political and that corporations are going to take over the government, but they probably freak out and think that you're a terrorist. Everyone's a terrorist. Well, you know, technically, I suppose you could claim that I am a terrorist, but I'm like a friendly, happy-faced kind of terrorist. I'm like a thinkist. You know, I'm like a thinkist terrorist. I'm a terrorist thinker. That's probably what I would be. But what I'm really asking is, can you explain in a nice little package what the show and the station is about and what you are trying to accomplish? Well, okay, I suppose, and that's from Daniel. Well, Daniel, I got to tell you, I would say that in the really broad, broad nutshell sense, because, I mean, Rant Media is so huge, and everybody has, you know, I mean, we're very, very diverse over here. All the different people involved, like Smokehouse and Sim, you've never seen two more people on opposite ends of the spectrum. You know what I mean? Politically, these guys are totally separate. And I'm, you know, God knows where I am. I'm like spinning around like a top over here. So no one really knows where I fit politically. So, I mean, that's a valid statement. You're not really too sure where, you know, everybody fits. But I suppose if I, you know, had someone stuffed a gun in my mouth and said, Sean, what is Rant Media as a whole all about? I would say it is about decreasing suffering. That's really what it's about. It's about decreasing the suffering. It's about decreasing the mental suffering of our fellow human beings. And the way we do this is by leading by example to show others who hate the media how to free the media by becoming the media. That is probably the best way I can think to describe that to anyone. So, you know, if you want to know what Newsreel and Rant Media is all about, that would be it, to show others who hate the media how to free the media by becoming the media. Dear Sean, I have lived in Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, my whole life. The past week or two, I've been thinking. I've heard some people say that Al-Qaeda might attack on 8605. That's the 60-year anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing. Combined with a few articles that have said Al-Qaeda planning nuclear attacks and calling for Operation American Hiroshima, this makes me a little nervous. I'm certainly not convinced anything will happen because of this, although it might make me uneasy. As you can tell, being as this is the 10th, this email is 4 days old. Now, about the false alarm. Now, I talked about the false alarm the other day. Given that I'm already a little nervous that a nuke could possibly go off on the 6th, I thought that a guy somehow typed the wrong AND a day in before the Nevada and the accidentally sent out a message reserved for the president in case of a nuclear attack. Alex Jones, who's, you know, always good fun, said, paraphrasing Alex Jones now, if a major city gets nukes, it's a terrorist. But if a smaller city, 100 to 200,000 people, gets nuked, it's the military-industrial complex. So what is Tallahassee? Well, it's a city of around 180 to 200,000 people. I don't think it should be noted to listen to everything that Alex Jones says. Well, you know, but you gotta love Alex. You know, when he backs his stuff up with facts, you know, when he reports his facts are bang on. I mean, you can't say that Alex Jones lies. But what he does is he makes a couple of leaps of logic, you know, stuff. He puts the stories together in such a way to back up his theory. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not really the way I would do it, you know, but I respect Alex. Huge props going out to Alex. And absolutely, I mean, if you're listening to Alex Jones, Noam Chomsky, Jello Biafra, me, and all these other guys who are running around out there, you know, screaming into microphones, and all the other news shows that are running around, eventually, from enough angles, you will get a fairly accurate picture, you know, kind of like through a lens darkly kind of thing going on here. Well, there it is. Kind of long, but I'm hoping it's never on Newsreel. I really hope I'm just fucking crazy and that you can hit me back a few days whenever and say, good thing nothing happened, you paranoid, crazy motherfucker. You. No, not really. Not really. I wouldn't call you a paranoid, crazy motherfucker because, you know, honestly, you've got to be alert, right? Now, everyone wants to be in the state of hypervigilance. That's the way the government wants everyone to be. And you got to be careful not to burn yourself out. But, you know, it's okay to be aware. It's always good to do that sort of thing. You've always got to be prepared. Now, that said, what is the reality? What is the actual dangers of a nuke going off in the United States? Well, I don't know. I don't know what the dangers are. I mean, it's so fuzzy right now, and they're purposely, like, the amount of broadcast smog we've got running around, nobody trusts anything that's said in the news anymore. We have a complete information broadcast storm happening where no one's really sure what the truth is, and it's really kind of sad. But that was sent in from Coding Rooster, and props to you, buddy. Dear Sean. Now, here's another fellow who lives in Tallahassee, and because of my job, which I will not describe for personal security reasons, I work closely with the National Weather Service. I've always been impressed with their work and professionalism, no doubt. However, mistakes do happen, like the broadcast of the radiological hazard alert. Yes, it really happened, and I'm sure someone got into major trouble for that. The actual hardware we use where I work to broadcast an EAS, Emergency Alert System, message is a rack-mounted thing that is a total bitch to operate. If the operator does not pay attention, something unexpected will happen. Honestly, there's not much else to say about the incident, but if you have any questions, please email me. And I'm not going to give out the guy's name because for, you know, security reasons. So apparently, that nuke scare that went out across in Florida there was, in fact, just a scare. We've got some logs on the case to check that out. Dear Sean, so I picked up an album the other day. And the actual album is a Combi Christ album called Everybody Hates You. And it's a really good album, and I like all the other projects by these guys, like Icon of Coil. However, something I saw on the CD was a warning. And the warning said, all rights reserved, unauthorized reproduction, hiring, lending, public performance, and broadcasting prohibited. Holy crap. I'm used to the no reproducing part, but no lending? Isn't my CD to do with what I please? I'd really like to know if the band or the label, out of line, or the label's lawyers are getting this out of control. Maybe other listeners have some insight. The Boone. Now, Boone, I gotta tell ya, that's fucked up, because if you buy a CD, you should be able to lend it. You should, you know, it's just like a magic penny. You know, seriously. Seriously, we should be able to, you know, lend CDs that we buy. How else are you supposed to share music? Because what the music industry wants is they don't want anyone even coming over to your house to play it for them. So it's like, oh, I got the new album. Can we come over and listen to it? Yeah, sure. You know, and then they're sneaking albums back and forth. This is just insanity. You know, this whole thing reminds me, just to spin back here, anybody ever see that movie called Swing Kids? And in Nazi Germany, what was happening was that all the swing tunes and stuff were all done by, you know, black artists and stuff like that. So, of course, the Nazis didn't want any of the black artists, you know, corrupting the youth of Germany. So they, you know, made all the albums illegal. It was considered contraband. And the Nazis were going around trying to smash albums and destroy swing music and all that sort of stuff. Kind of a strange parallel to the way the Nazis of the RIAA and the NBAA are actually, you know, kind of moving along. Maybe that might be a nice little parallel to draw there. Perhaps we should look back into history and see if, you know, look at some of the propaganda that the Nazis put out and see if we could Photoshop some of the RIAA and NBAA propaganda in with the old Nazi, you know, cultural propaganda. Because after all, isn't it really the same thing? Dear Sean, in response to your story on Tuesday's 5th of August show about cancer. There is a non-nanotech solution to cancer already. Well, that's interesting. No idea why they still fucking pump people full of radiation or how that even sounded like a good idea in the first place. But yeah, there's a process called protein tagging, which basically involves manufacturing a protein that can bond only with a specific type of cell. In this case, a type of cancer. These proteins are injected into the bloodstream and attach/tag themselves to cancer cells in the body. Then after a day or so, an enzyme is administered, which effectively acts as a kill switch. It seeks out the tags that would cause the cells to self-terminate. It's a completely contained process that affects nothing but the intended cells. Well, of course, that's not being pumped because that's not nanotech, and nanotech is the complete bling thing right now. Everybody wants nanotech, nanotech, nanotech. This is a very basic outline of the process, but more information can be found with a Google search. They currently use a similar process for rich motherfuckers that want to lose some weight. I saw a weight loss thing in The New Scientist around this time last year. Sorry if that was long, but it reminds me how pissed I was when I read that last year, and that was sent in by Rasputin. So thank you very much, Rasputin, and no, I did not know that. And quite often, yeah, occasionally, you know, we wind up repeating ideas and concepts and stories here on Newsreel, and that's okay, because not everyone catches every story. There's some news stories, honest to God, there's news stories I get. Like, there's a news story today that I would just, you know, repeat about a billion times. I'd like to cover the same news story every day this week. And now, for the first time, I'm beginning to understand why it might be a good idea to go back in the past to start downloading all the other Newsreel shows so that you can get all the daily hacks, all the cyberpunk kit, all the stuff in the past, and some of these news stories that you may not be aware of because they get swallowed up in the memory hole of the broadcast fire hose of the internet media. I mean, we're just grabbing, you know, little bits of fruit that we think are ripe so that you can, you know, you can eat them and stuff and feed the brain. That's sort of the idea. So it might be an idea, in case you haven't downloaded a couple of shows, maybe there'd be a way we could find out what people thought was their favorite shows, not favorite shows, you know, put them in order or something like that. People like to structurize stuff. I don't know. On to Sort Yourself Out. And this one is, of course, getting no name. Dear Sean. Now, this is a pretty hardcore email here I got. Dear Sean, I'm very, very confused of late. I feel very psychotic and maybe even sociopathic. I'm afraid of my mental state is waning too much. Now, the fact you feel psychotic and sociopathic and are afraid of your mental state waning is a good sign. Because if you really were losing it, you wouldn't be thinking that way. I do not like to be around more than two people at a time. Welcome to the land of the black shakes. I think in a morbid manner. I'm not too sure what that is. Edgar Allan Poe thought in a morbid manner. H.P. Lovecraft thinks in a morbid manner. I think in a morbid manner. And at the strangest times, I think vividly of hurting random people that I see. Those are aggression issues. I also have confusing thoughts regarding my father. We never had a good relationship. He also physically abused me and attempted to kill my mother and me on more than one occasion. And my mother is mentally disturbed and has hurt me many times in childhood, emotionally more than physically, although we have a good relationship now. Please help me. Wow. Okay, how do I address this particular issue? Okay, then. The first thing we need to do is you've obviously got some issues here, guy. You know, I mean, when you look at this and go, what you're telling me here is that, you know what, I think my brain is damaged. I think I have some therapy and some my brain is actually damaged. So what I would do, you know, without, of course, there's no substitute for finding a good therapist. You know, really, even if that therapist isn't a therapist, even if that therapist is a good friend or someone you trust who, you know, you can talk through your shit, because the only person who's going to be able to work this out is you. So instead of doing the therapy, I draw your attention to the news article I covered yesterday about how people in the Norwegian prison were addressing deep-rooted psychological issues with yoga. Ah, isn't that interesting? So you know what? I bet no matter where you live, you might be able to get into some yogic ideas and things like that, some meditation. And on the very short term, that's something you could do right now. You could learn how to meditate and do yoga and do like a meditation deep breathing exercise over the internet in about 25 minutes. So if you're listening to this broadcast, the minute newsreel's over, you need to look that stuff up, sit down, and begin focusing on the self. Slow everything down so that you regain control of your own mind and body. And if this continues and you begin to have violent outbursts and stuff like that, then you're going to need to seek professional help, because you know what? You can't hurt people. That's not cool. All right? But, you know, I try to do everything naturopathic first and then go from there. And, you know, again, if this continues on, and I'm totally speculating here, okay? I'm not a doctor, all right? I'm just a guy who, if you were to talk to me in a bus and ask me this question, this is what I'd say. You know, a lot of doctors, if you go see them and they're talking about throwing you on pills right away, I'd get a second opinion. And if none of that stuff works, well, I'd roll up a joint before I'd do anything. Actually, that's a lie. That's a lie. I wouldn't do that. What I would say is I would definitely recommend probably maybe a vaporizer or something like that, because I don't recommend people actually smoke marijuana. I think that there's a lot more benefit that can be had if you just use a vaporizer or something like that. But anyway, I would say that you look at naturopathic sort of solutions. Maybe not weed. You could go with some legal alternatives. There's lots of herbs that are out there that can help you. That ume plum stuff that I was using from Eden Foods, that's really, really great if things get a little bit too drastic. It's very fast acting too. When you throw it in your mouth, you get about 3 seconds in and bam, stuff happens. It doesn't work for everyone, but it seems to work for me. So that's, you know, the best advice I can give. But again, I am not a doctor. Moving on to an opinion piece. Wow, look at all this, eh? You know, nothing but Sean here on Newsreel. More kit questions for you here, Sean. I'm pondering investing in Under Armour clothing. I like it. These are the guys, you know, and since I put out patrolling, now they're putting all that, dude, will you protect this house kind of, you know, commercials they got everywhere. But I like the idea of something that can wick sweat away from my body and so forth. But the price, I'm guessing by now you've probably worn some Under Armour. Give me a good description of its value. Now, I'm trusting you here, Sean. I know it does, but I know what it does, but I don't know how well it does that. I'd ask a question about knives, but I'm worried about my balls and my sweaty ass, really. Okay, well, I'm here to tell you. If an Under Armour is designed for not for extended wear. I have some Under Armour myself, and I do wear it. I have some shirts, and I like the way that they work. When you wear a t-shirt, like one of the tight-fitting t-shirts, if you're wearing a dress shirt, then it kind of moves nicely over the body, and you look a little bit better. So if you're going to wear a shirt as an undershirt, I highly recommend an Under Armour shirt. However, if you sweat a lot, all that's going to happen is going to take your sweat and move it out to your clothing. Now, I actually prefer cotton myself. Okay, I prefer cotton. Make sure you use natural fibers in things that touch your clothing. Under Armour is good stuff, but it is extremely expensive, and it isn't designed for long-term wear. If you're wearing Under Armour, you're wearing it generally for about, you know, I'd say for a day on the outside, and then you've got to wash it. Sometimes you get away with a t-shirt for more than one day. And as well, it's kind of a personal preference thing, but if you can't afford it, I mean, Under Armour's not going to do nothing for you in the sweat category. That cotton won't do for you as well. So, you know, I'd look at natural fibers and things of that reality. But again, this is just my opinion. A lot of that whole Under Armour sequence I thought was hilarious.
That was intended more as humor than as a literal thing, because Under Armour makes tactical underwear. And the whole concept of tactical underwear is absolutely hilarious to me. You know, that's what I'm saying here.
Coming at you hard and fast now with the news. We got some Scientology news right off the top, sent in by Visage, who's very sexy. A Scientology-run detoxification clinic in Manhattan, Cultus, is endangering patients because of its leaders' strict adherence to the church teachings. Well, I'm not a Scientologist, so I don't need to worry about pissing off the leader guy. A whistleblowing former employee has told the City Confidential, who, until recently, worked with the New York Rescue Workers Detoxification Program on Fulton Street. The New York Rescue Workers Detoxification Program on Fulton Street is actually run by Scientologists, apparently. He said he witnessed strange practices at the tax-funded center, the tax-funded Scientology Center, which was co-founded by Tom Cruise. These include treating ill World Trade Center rescue workers with doctors present, without doctors present, strictly following Scientology L. Ron Hubbard's medical techniques, even when patients were in distress, and a reluctance to call 911 for help. Ah, that's because, you know, they're trying to do that cross between science and religion, hence Scientology, and the two do not go together. Somebody's going to get hurt from this, the former employee said, who, incidentally, this former employee is risking his ass in a big way, because now he's marked by the Fair Use Clause, where, according to Scientology's own teachings, they are now able to kill the former employee and destroy him any way they see fit. There was no responsibility on the medical side of the project. Uh-huh. Again, we don't let, psycho-fundamentalist religious people of any sort of description, including crazy-ass science cultists, stick me with needles. This is, you know, kind of sort of a general guideline. The whistleblower's bombshell revelation came after The Post reported this week that Scientologists from around the country pumped nearly $115,000 into the Manhattan Borough president campaign of Councilwoman Margaret Lopez, who has steered more than $600,000 U.S. of public funds into the facility. Your tax dollars in action to help psycho cultists. The former staffer was especially disturbed by the hours maintained by the two doctors at the center. Oh, really? They worked from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., the source noted. But the clinic is open for at least 12 hours a day, and the patients were coming in at all times. So who's treating them? Sometimes the doctors would only be there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Shit, man, I gotta be me a doctor. You want to talk about being a slacker? There's no greater slacker than a doctor. When doctors weren't around, there was only one source to consult for treatment, Hubbard's book, Clear Mind, Clear Body, with the text in which detoxification was created. Ah, I see. So are they trying to say here that the detoxification was a process created by L. Ron Hubbard? Because if they do, I don't think so. A disaster was narrowly averted last summer when a firefighter ran out of a 170-degree sauna, part of the detoxification method, along with exercise and a large dose of niacin, because he was having trouble breathing, according to one witness. So I guess they take this firefighter, drop him in a 170-degree sauna, and, you know, just bake him. As the firefighter's hands were turning blue, a call was made to a clinic higher-ups for guidance. They said it was just a manifestation, and we should go back to the book until it passed, one horrified witness recalled. We were told to take him to the hospital if absolutely necessary, but to drive him there instead of calling 911. The firefighter was given oxygen and his condition eventually stabilized. A spokesman for the clinic defended the operation. The detoxification program is under the general medical supervision of board-certified physician, said Keith Miller. He added that the clinic has, quote, a clear policy to call 911 when needed, end quote. Well, evidently it doesn't, and Keith Miller is a lying psychopath. Miller said 500 rescue workers and their families have benefited from the program so far. Many called the Post yesterday to express their support for the project. Well, that's good. That's good. While the techniques employed by the clinic were partly responsible for the staffer's decision to quit, the employees gave notice only after witnessing what the employee called an extremely disturbing event involving a coworker. This girl who worked there had a boyfriend whose brother had left the Church of Scientology, the source said. They told her
The only way she could keep working there would be if her boyfriend had no further contact with his brother. Look at that! That is shunning by any other name or description. That is exactly the kind of psychotic evil crap that cults do. So this is why you do not cross religion, business, and or science, because they are all individual. Thanks for coming out. Now, in British thought police news, now this, I mean, they're really going crazy over there now, and this again was sent in by Visage, Tony Blair has outlined a raft of plans to extend powers to deport or exclude foreigners who, get this, encourage terrorism. Ah, so if you're in England and you encourage terrorism, this is, you know, not so good. The UK can already exclude or deport those who pose a threat to security, and Mr. Blair said he also wanted to clamp down on those who advocate terror. Now, one way of looking at this, actually, I'll get through the article. The Prime Minister said he was prepared to amend human rights laws to make deportations more straightforward. So fuck human rights, you're gone. But Lib Dem leader of Liberal Democrat leader Charles Kennedy said Mr. Blair's announcements would put the cross-party consensus under strain. The measures came as Scotland Yard confirmed they had arrested two more people in London earlier this week in connection with the 21 July attempted bombings. Now, again, that's pretty flimsy stuff. In connection, what the hell does that mean? It brings the total people still in custody over the bombs attempts to 17, three of whom have been charged. So we got 14 people in jail for no fucking reason. On the new anti-terror package, Mr. Kennedy warned that the plans to ban Muslim organizations, power to close mosques, and deport people who visit particular bookshops and websites risked, quote, inflaming tensions and alienating people. Shami Chakrabarti, director of the civil rights group Liberty, said Mr. Blair has attacked key human rights and would jeopardize national unity. Conservative Shadow Home Secretary David Davis welcomed the broad thrust of proposals on exclusions and deportations, but said the consultation period was very short. Mr. Davis said, it is vital that the Home Secretary is able to use his powers to deport or exclude non-UK citizens who threaten our national security. We have been calling for him to do this for some time. London has been nicknamed Londanistan, a center for militant Islam, by some critics who believe the UK has been too liberal towards radical clerics. In the final conference before the summer break, Mr. Blair said the British hospitality has been abused and people should know the rules of the game are changing. People now understand that when we warned of terrorist threat, it wasn't scaremongering, it was real, he said. Now, on one hand, you look at this. Now, other planned measures. Let me just go over this real quick here. The planned measures, the Home Secretary to consider deporting any foreigner involved in enlisted extreme centers and websites. So if you live in England and you're listed on an extremist center or a website, you're gone. If you justifying or glorifying terrorism anywhere, okay, so they want to make justifying or glorifying terrorism anywhere an offense and automatically refuse asylum to anyone with anything to do with terrorism. So if you get painted with the terrorist brush, you are well and truly fucked. This is like the Red Scare here. Examine calls for police to be able to hold terror suspects for longer before pressing charges and use more control orders against British terrorist subjects. As well, they want to create a list of preachers who will be kept out of the UK. Now, on one hand, you look at this and go, well, you know what? I mean, Tony Blair's looking at this and thinking of Britain as his house, right? I mean, it's his house. He wants to make sure that, you know, there's going to be no terrorism there. So, of course, you know, he's going to wind up, you know, kicking people out that are causing problems. If you have a house party and somebody shows up at the house party and they're causing problems, what do? You kick them out. Is that out of control? No. No, I don't think it is out of control, really. I mean, if you wanted to kick people out of your home, that's fine. That's fine. And people get very, very upset about it. But they're not talking about kicking people out who aren't British citizens. They're just saying people who are not British citizens, who are visiting the country, if you show up in our house and start fucking around, we're going to kick you out. That I don't have a problem with. Okay, provided you boot them out, and that's fine. But the whole arresting without charge thing, that's a little bit Gestapo. Okay, that's, you're getting near like, you know, you follow that through to its eventuality and we start talking about gulags. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should get some feedback on this from the people in Britain and see what they think about the whole thing. Newsreel at rantradio.com. Now, in booster news from Ronan Sariat, something that I'm sure would be a big hit in Britain, would be powdered booze. Not sure if this qualifies as a technical breakthrough, but apparently alcohol is now being sold in a handy powdered form. The German company that sells it on the internet with an odd and eerie name of Subu is coming under fire for selling a product that I guess minors are buying. Meanwhile, medical experts warn the product contains preservatives that may harm your health. Like that jug of Jack Daniels won't. They look harmless enough, but the inconspicuous packets often next to cashiers and gas stations and convenience stores, beverage stores, and bars. But according to consumer protection officials, that's what makes them all the more dangerous, since the powder inside contains alcohol and a lot of it, about 4.8% by volume. That's the equivalent to 1.5 glasses of liquor. Now, that, you know, depending on the liquor. The product is called Subu, manufactured by a company in North Rhine-Westphalia, and that's in Germany, I guess, and it is marketed squarely at teenagers with slogan like, taste for not much dough, and get a good buzz going. Add the powder to cold water and consume, and what you have is an alcoholic drink containing either vodka or rum. These are just as dangerous as the Alco-Pops that came in the bottles. British Regular, a nutrition expert at consumer affairs organization, Stiftung Warus, told Dr. Spiegel Weekly. While authorities were able to curtail consumption of Alco-Pops with a special tax on the drinks last August. Now, I never heard of these Alco-Pops. I guess they took pop and put alcoholism, which put them out of reach of many teenage budgets. These new Alco-Pops in powder form cost between $1.65 and $2.40. That's euros, or $2 and $3 a pack. Subu is able to get around taxes because the product comes in a powdered form. Very, very interesting. Because of the high alcohol content, youth advocates also worry the powder's other ingredients, including high levels of preservatives, sorbic acid, and dyes, have not been approved by health experts. So generally, you know, this goes back to my whole thing of it's a chemical. If it is a chemical, maybe you don't want to eat it. You know, that's just me. I oftentimes come to that conclusion that perhaps, you know, staying away from chemicals might be a good idea. You know, you're not too sure what they do, and generally it's not food. Now, I don't really like booze a whole lot anyway. You know, I really don't. I mean, if you really snapped. Now, believe me, I've had my run with it. You know, I went and did the booze thing. Gave it a good try. Really did. Tried it out. You know, took that sucker for a test drive for sometimes 9 or 10 days at a time. And I'm here to tell you, you feel like 7 tons of hammered shit after you've had a good bender. You know, and wow, the damage it does is pretty wicked. You know, you got to look at that and say, whoa, dude. You know, that's not right. You know, that's not cool to be doing that to your body. So I you know, I'm not so keen on this whole powdered booze thing. But, you know, I submit it to your approval. Now, how about this one here? Again, another Ronan Sariat special. I got some cyberpunk kit for you called the Executive Defense Briefcase. Now, this guy's website is hurting, but it is the product. And again, what does it do? How well does it do it? And this website does its job. Other than the fact that I can't find a price on the goddamn briefcase, but that's okay. Now you can carry a life-saving protection with you every day without a second thought. And you're not paranoid at all. Introducing the Executive Defense Briefcase from Executive Defense, the only patented hard leather briefcase on the market that combines style and elegance with life-saving capability. With a quick push of the button, a hidden compartment springs open from the briefcase to reveal a holstered firearm strategically positioned for instant retrieval. The process to open the briefcase and draw your firearm takes less than a second. Each briefcase comes equipped with a universal holster, 2 magazine pouches, and a capacity to add a bulletproof panel, pepper spray, and handcuff case. Custom exterior finishes and applications are available upon request. As a traditional functioning briefcase, the suede leather interior offers ample storage space for documents and valuables. Executive Defense Briefcase is ideal for wholesale jewelry reps, retail merchants, bodyguards, private investigators, law enforcement, and security personnel. Even makes a perfect accessory for the well-dressed executive who would like the security of carrying a full-size firearm without altering their wardrobe. Incidentally, not only could you carry a full-size firearm, you could probably drop like an MP5 in this thing without too much of a problem. The Executive Defense Briefcase is built to last a lifetime, featuring solid brass wood. Oh, sorry. Let's try that again. It's built to last a lifetime, featuring solid base wood with interlocking corners for added strength. Their quality of briefcases sold only in fine luggage shops, not office supply stores. For the price of an average full-size firearm, you can protect yourself every day for the rest of your life. Please contact us for pricing and availability. Now, I thought that this was just, you know, I watched that movie The Island the other day, which was all right, you know. It was cool. And I thought it was, you know, pretty funny because the security company I work for has the same name as the security company in the movie, which is kind of neat. But when I'm looking at this, they had a briefcase where, you know, they dropped, like, the handle, a buddy pulled the gun out and all that kind of jazz. But it's kind of definitely, even from, like, this is a total Shadowrun piece of gear. This is something you'd find in a cyberpunk role-playing game. But when the guy gets back to me and tells me how much these things cost, don't worry, I'll let you know. Now, in comms news, and this is meaning for communication, and it always, free communication is the best kind of communication, it seems that iScoot is a new mobile internet phone company you'll probably hear a lot about in the near future. iScoot has introduced software that facilitates mobile access to tens of millions of Skype internet phone users. iScoot enables complete access to Skype for both making and receiving calls from any mobile phone. iScoot does not require any special hardware, custom phone, or Wi-Fi hotspot. iScoot is offering free trial downloads at its website now. Skype is changing the face of telecommunications as we know it. There are now more than 40 million Skype users making free phone calls to anywhere in the world. iScoot completes the Skype user experience by extending the boundaries of Skype's valuable service from the PC to the mobile phone. Now with iScoot and via a local call, users can enjoy the benefits of local, long-distance, and international calls when they are mobile and away from their PC, said Jacob Guadilla. I'm sure I'm fucking his name up. Chief Executive Officer of iScoot. iScoot's first application works with Skype to enable users to connect any mobile phone to Skype's internet phone service with and a buddy system. Versions of for other platforms and buddy systems include AIM, Yahoo, Microsoft services, as well as for Mac systems, and they will be released in the future. Voice over Internet Protocol, VoIP, is an umbrella term for a range of products and services, blah, 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 blah. Goes on explaining all this crap. But bottom line, what we got here is we got a mobile phone accessory that enables you to make international calls for free. And that, of course, is very, very hot. I eventually am going to have to get enough money together to buy myself a new PC. I have a portable PC. Which is, you know, it's pretty cool. I got a Sony laptop. It's a Vaio. For those of you that actually give a shit, it's a PCG K33 Sony. It's considered to be a desktop replacement. And the thing that is unbelievably and hyper gay about the entire thing is the fact that it can't play any video games. And I'm really pissed off about that because I am a VR game head. I love first-person shooters. That's my big trip. I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that only play one kind of game, and I'm one of those guys. I like computer games because I like first-person shooters. I don't like paddles. I don't. I never have. I prefer using a keyboard and a goddamn mouse. Incidentally, I prefer a trackball mouse, even though my thumb kind of bugs me a little bit, but we're working on it. Now, of course, After I got a chance to use a VFX 3D helmet, and it is a complete mystery to me why first-person shooters and immersive virtual reality environments are not the crack of our generation. Because let me tell you, years ago, we're talking 1996, I threw on a VFX 1 helmet and played some Doom with that thing. And I'm here to tell you, that was some of the sexiest fun I've had, ever had in my life. I mean, it was awesome. But yet, you know, there doesn't seem to be much push for that, and it makes me a little concerned that something this cool is not getting the kind of press it deserves. It makes me a little, suspicious. But anyway, I digress. On to Camborg news. Now, this is from Coding Rooster. Listen to this story. Tell me how incredibly psychotic this is. A Missouri man, and man is a very, you know, is actually kind of a teenager, okay? A Missouri teenager is the first to be indicted under a new federal law that prohibits people from secretly, you know, I like the way they try to make this sound, but from videotaping movies that are shown in theaters, the U.S. Justice Department said on Thursday. Curtis Salisbury, who is 19 years old, used a camcorder to make copies of the recent release, The Perfect Man and Bewitched, and then distributed them through illicit computer networks that specialize in piracy, the Justice Department said. The law that took a law that took effect in April prohibits such behavior. Salisbury also downloaded several movies and software programs from the computer network, the Justice Department said. So he's illegal. He's a pirate. He's a pirate. Salisbury, okay, now check this out. He has stolen nothing. Nothing. He has taken nothing. He has copied information. Okay? He took his own property into a location he paid to have access to and pointed his camera at something that was being shown to him. Okay? That's what he did. He faces 17 years in jail. Okay? And because he's in a deep, dark hole, he could not be reached for comment. Entertainment industry insiders and tech-savvy hackers use Wares networks, as they are commonly known, to distribute movies, music, and software for free before they're released to the public. Oh, so that's for you, mom and pop, who don't know shit about the internet. The files then up on peer-to-peer networks like Kazaa, where they can be downloaded by millions of people, or burned to discs and sold on street corners. How many people do you really see selling software on street corners? I don't think it's that big of a deal. Law enforcement officials say most participants in the Wares networks are generally not motivated by profit. In this instance, Salisbury sought payment for the movies he uploaded, the Justice Department said. I'd like to see proof of that. I really would. I'd really like to see proof of that because, you know, those filmed movies, I've tried to watch those. I can't watch them. They're too shitty. I mean, I can't watch them for free. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Now, this should not be a federal matter. This is a civil matter. There's no way this is a crime. He's not committing a crime. He is not a danger to the public. He is a danger, even at a stretch, but even from their own with their own stuff, he's not a danger to the public. He's a danger to a corporation. He's a danger of, supposedly, to the MPAA and the RIAA. He's not a danger to the public. This is not jail time. The kid does not deserve 17 years in prison, okay? In a federal fucking prison. I don't think that's to even think and consider whether that's even fair is complete insanity. I can't understand what the hell these people are thinking. Now, on to Black Ice News, and this was sent to me from Sabo. Now, check this out. The body that represents the U.S. movie industry has released its latest tool in a campaign to clamp down on movie file sharing aimed at parents. The Movie Association for America's MPAA free parent file scan software lets parents check their children's computers for peer-to-peer programs. So, your parents walk... Look at the division this is creating inside of families. Would you check this out? It's like a teenager is trying to exhibit, you know, their own independence, and they got the parents pulling Gestapo routines for what? Not for, you know, immoral, you know, pornography, or not for, you know, violent, you know, music, or it's not for video games. Now you're not even allowed to have information sharing software. Like, what? Why even let your kids have a computer, for fuck's sakes, you know? It will also list all movie and music files they have on their hard drive. Parents have the choice to remove the program and files. The MPAA said files would not be passed on to it. Oh, sure it would. No, I believe the MPAA. Why would they lie? Our ultimate goal is to help consumers locate the resources and information they need to make appropriate decisions about using and trading illegal files, said Dan G. Lickman of the MPAA chief, who is, in fact, aptly named. Many parents are concerned about the way their children have downloaded and what they've downloaded it from. Ooh, no, their parents are not concerned about that. Parents are concerned about getting sued. Many parents don't have time to be concerned about their children because they work too goddamn much for the corporate political slave masters. But some computer users who have tested the latest software reported on some technology sites, the program has identified Windows default WAV files as copyrighted materials and wanted to delete them. The movie piracy industry has cost £3.7 billion in England, $7 billion US in 2003, according to analysts. You know, how do they get this is totally lie. This is complete propaganda. It is complete and total propaganda. It's embarrassing to read those numbers and to think that people out there, that moms and dads everywhere, are believing that their child is responsible for $7 billion worth of damage to an organization that makes billions more. I mean, the whole concept is absolutely insane to me. Now, in virtual reality news, and this was sent in by Fat Ninja, trucking across the world, Chinese authorities unveiled new regulations on Tuesday that will prohibit minors under the age of 18 from playing more violent online games. which currently dominate the Chinese online gaming market. Well, everybody likes to play violent games. Effective immediately, all minors are banned from playing online games in which players are allowed to kill other players. An activity that has been termed player kills. China's Ministry of Culture, MOC, and Ministry of Information Industry. Wow! The Ministry of Information Industry have also ordered the country's online game operators to develop identity authentication schemes that prevent minors from playing the games. These authentication systems would require all players to first enter their citizen ID card numbers before being allowed to play games that allow player kills. Holy shit! No timetable was given for these authentication systems to be implemented. Well, let's look at China and see how long it's going to be before the good old Americans bring in this sort of a law. Minors should not be allowed to play online games that have PKA content or allow other players to increase their power of their own online game characters by killing other players. Like, why not? Why not? Really, because is that not how life works? One corporation uses all of its powers in its capabilities to destroy other corporations and take their share. That's what it is. This is what cutthroat economics and guerrilla marketing is all about. But I guess, we don't want to teach that. We don't want people to know that. We want everyone to believe in this Disney-esque fairy tale of existence, which is supposedly, you know, what the world is. But unfortunately, that is not the way the world is. And by denying kids access to these games, I think that they're doing more harm than good. And incidentally, doesn't China have a conscription service? I mean, wouldn't there be an advantage to having kids, you know, able to, like, work out their aggressions from a completely oppressive, dominant culture? It would seem to me that they could. I don't know what China's doing with this, other than, of course, hyper-controlling their people, which China always loves to do. Now, here is a story sent in by Dark Nature that I would like to probably repeat every day for the remainder of this week, but I can't. So this, if you're not paying attention to any other story, you want to pay attention to this one, which is Cyber Slave News sent in by Dark Nature and a hell of a fun. Smiling nervously, young woman walks forward in a straight line. Suddenly, she veers to the right. She stumbles and stops, attempting to regain her balance, and continues to walk forward. And then she veers to the left. No, she's not intoxicated. It's funny. The young lady's vestibular system, which controls her sense of movement and balance, has been thrown off kilter by two weak electronic currents delivered just behind her ears. There's a video on the website. You can see this. This sort of electrical stimulation is known as galvanic vestibular stimulation, or GVS. When a weak DC current is delivered to the mastoid behind your ears, your body responds by shifting your balance towards the node. The stronger the current, the more powerful the pull. If it's strong enough, it not only throws you off balance, but alters the course of your movements. Okay, GVS has been known for at least half a century, but it attracted relatively little interest until the last 20 years. If researchers at the Nippon Telegraph and Telephone, NTT, Communication Systems Laboratories have their way, that intent interest may soon escalate and even go commercial. At the 2005 SIGGRAPH Computer Graphics Conference in Los Angeles this week, NTT researchers debuted a device designed to exploit the effectiveness of GVS. Known as Shaking the World, it projects the result of research carried out by NTT research of NTT researcher Taro Maeda. Maeda and his colleagues constructed a headphone-like apparatus to deliver electrical current and a small radio control to direct the signal strength and direction of the signal. Whoever wears such headphones can be steered by remote control. Now, bear in mind, this is Gen 1 stuff here. This is just beta. Conferences attendees lined up to try and maintain their balance as the NTT spokesman gently steered them left and right. Some attempted to counteract the current's effects, while others almost ran into the crowd of onlookers as they stumbled haplessly along. But nearly everyone was curious. Where might this research lead? The most persuasive commercial applications of Maeda's GBS device will most likely be in gaming. Research put together in crude virtual racing games didn't demonstrate how GVS heightened the perception of centrifugal force as users watch the car wind its way around the track on a video screen. Now, this was out there. There was a product on the market years ago called Motionware that did exactly the same thing. Manubu Sakurai, NTT's marketing manager, says the company is currently investigating whether or not gamers would be interested in such advice, flight simulators may be another area of interest. Well, let's take this device, cross it with virtual reality, and you've got SimSense. Really? That's what you got. And you cross that again, you know, with the ability to, you know, simulate nerve movements and stuff like that. We're talking about, you know, BTL, better than life type gaming systems. Many people talk about that, Sakari explained, because GVS causes you to feel the same kind of motion as a large-scale flight simulator. It could be much simpler and more cost-effective way to train people. NTT Research also point, rather improbably, to GVS's potential for collision avoidance. A demonstration video shows a young man walking down the street, nearly run over by a passing motorcycle, steered to safety at the last minute by a guardian angel wielding a remote control. But wouldn't that require people wear electric nodes behind their ears 24 hours a day? Well, yes, according to Maeda. The long-term effects of GVS are unknown, but he plans to continue investigating ways to bring the phenomenon to the public. Now, let's look at this, and let's say we don't apply this to gaming. Let's apply this to, say, the prison industry, where all prisoners, with their little tag they get that identify them, they have them implanted behind the ear. And along with that implant, we make it a little bit bigger because technology. We'll go to Gen 4 or Gen 5 because right now we're at Gen 1. So let's make it about maybe the size of a dime. And we just put it subdermally behind your ear because you're a convict. And now if you're running or we don't know where we are, we just simply do a low-orbiting aircraft satellite broadcast to pin everyone down so that no one is able to move. You just alternate the frequency lap and back and forth so no one can stand up. In the prisons, instead of a lockdown, if there's a riot, you just hit the button, the thing transfers back and forth, none of the prisoners can stand up, and so they're all pinned. Of course, all the unchipped guards are able to walk around then and carry around these carcasses of meat like they're all, you know. Yellow means death. Watch out for intestination. This is the kind of stuff where this technology is going to lead, and we need to watch this very, very carefully. Today's daily hack might be helpful for those of us who wish to go to another country where they don't have chips being put in people's brains. That would be language training. Word to Word is pleased to provide these links to help all people developing better understanding of others through the use of language. Check it out. There's huge links there because I'm a big fan of other people, of learning multiple languages. I want to try to learn Russian myself, maybe Japanese too, because, I mean, hey, if you can get around to Russian and Japan, that's sexy. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow. Oh, that was sent in by Uber Lido, by the way, that language training. But that's what I do have for you today, and I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people who were willing to donate for the month of July 2005. And new this month, we had 5 more people show up to say, hey, you know what? We care about Newsreel, and we're going to show that we care in a very real way. And if you would like to show that you care in a very real way, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab because every little bit helps. Special thanks to some hard net runners who provide me with the data. And as well, the Grey Ghost Vacuum is now known as Alpha Sucker. That's a digital baptism for the day. There's no upcoming events that I can think of worth merit. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance of gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. Special shouts out to the Alien Binary and his crew at Pain Magazine, the official rant community rag. And if you haven't checked them out, make sure you do. That is one thing we need to start doing as a community, which is starting to get behind our own team. If you want, this magazine is a great way to get involved with the rant community. Download them, check them out. If you don't like the magazine, then you know what? Add another article. Submit articles. I'm getting email all the time from people like Falwear. He writes some amazing stuff. Smokey is twice the writer I am. You know, there's all kinds of people that should be writing, and we should be producing our own magazine. Right now, it's an e-magazine, but who's to say 2 years from now that we don't put out a glossy-style Adbusters magazine, which you could subscribe to? You know, maybe that could be another way that we could attack another media. And you know Sim's not going to let any advertising go in there, so we could make it our very own rag. It's a great idea. What a great way to, you know, if you wanted to contribute to the community, please check out Pain Magazine. It's a great, great mag. They got 14 issues online, and they're a lot of fun. Make sure you check it out. Get involved, because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Wumpscut called Born Again. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Roger Waters from his album Radio Chaos called The Powers That Be. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
A tough game, no rules. Some you win, some you lose. Competition good for you. The day to be free. They're the powers that be. They like a bomb-proof Cadillac, air conditioned old tap, backseat gun rack, platinum hubcaps. They pick horses for courses. They're the market forces. They like order, makeup, limelight, power, game shows. Star Wars TV. They're the powers that be. If you see them come, you better run. You better run. You better run. You better run. Run. You better run. Run.
Rest of the country, it's Sunset Strip. You're listening to Chaos in Los Angeles.